Welcome to the Improvised Wikipedia Podcast. I'm here with my friend John Lunger.
I'm here with my friend Glenn Tickle. And as always, we are rewriting the entirety of Wikipedia off the top of our damn heads in easy and convenient to listen to podcast form. Glenn.
Yeah.
So we're recording in a new studio.
We are.
Today. So I don't have my post-it note where we're keeping score.
Good.
In front of me.
Because I think the numbers on it make me sad.
Yeah, because we're down one. I believe we've won 17. Wikipedia's won 18.
Yeah, that
I'm just not going to care about ties anymore because they don't affect this.
I mean, they affect my feelings. I don't like, we've established that I don't like not winning things.
I don't really think most people don't like losing.
That's true. I mean, it'd be pretty wild if that's what you were into.
Like, it's like it's a real passive form of sadomasochism.
That's your kink.
Yeah.
Like just
like being slightly defeated at something.
Yeah, you
matter.
Like challenge people at bowling even though you know you're bad at it just yeah. So you can get off.
Oh man.
You nasty.
Oh, you nasty. Well, I think we should just dive in, get back into the saddle, right? Because I'm looking in front of me at 26 suggestions. From our duty cyclers,
man.
Our improvised Wikipedia podcast fans.
We
throw it out there, man. They've been stepping it up on our Facebook page.
Really well. Really proud of you, duty cyclers. You've been coming out with a lot of great suggestions whenever we ask. Also, there's increasingly more and more of you, which is nice to see.
Yeah. If you're just joining us and this is your first episode, make sure you hop on the Facebook and like our improvised Wikipedia page. And, you know, hopefully at the end when I remind you to rate and review us, 5 stars.
Speaking of reviews, so last week, our Superman episode,
mm-hmm.
you put up like a screenshot of it in your podcast app. And so it had it had our image, but then it also had the description for the episode that I wrote. And I started reading it, and I thought it was a bad review. And I was like, what jerk wrote this about my beautiful podcast, boys?
Right.
And I'm like, I wrote it. And it's not about the show. It was something like neither of the hosts actually care about Superman. Glenn's
Which
pretty
is factual.
Yeah. I'm like, well, that's true. Neither of us care about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought I was reading a bad review until I remembered writing it myself.
Do you take that as like a personal affront to yourself and maybe you should just write better show descriptions?
How dare you?
I'm just asking. I don't feel that way.
No, I don't know. The tone I write them in, I think I try to match kind of the tone of the show in that it is, I don't take it too seriously. And
sure. I was going to say, I think you're, by articulating that, you're making it sound like there's more thought behind our descriptions of anything than there actually are.
Well, I had like I do it while I am editing the episode. I have the WordPress page for the episode open,
mm-hmm.
and I'm working on whatever art for it. And then as like we say something that I think should go in the description, I add it in there.
Wow, what a peek behind the curtain.
Now everybody knows.
Wow.
Because I don't like to dedicate more than the time it takes to record an episode to editing it.
Fair. So to dive in, this is our first time recording in the morning.
Ooh, yeah, this is by far the earliest we've
ever
recorded.
By far the earliest. So maybe
we might have had like an afternoon one once.
Maybe. But maybe this is it. Maybe this is our home field advantage. Maybe late night recording sessions are what are holding us back.
I don't know. Not much of a morning guy.
Let's find out. I need a number between 1 and 27 from you to pick a
15. 15, my dude.
All right. I got to scroll down for that because that's how many suggestions we have.
Yeah. I put a few up.
Oh, hey, this is a fun one. Friend of the show, Mindy Arato, wants to know about Rasputin.
Cool.
Yeah.
I know Colossus's last name is Rasputin.
Do you mean
the X-Men.
Superhero X-Men?
Yeah.
Rasputin? Well, yeah, he's... Well, I mean,
Peter... Something, something... Rasputin, I think.
Right. I think the intent of her suggestion is talking about Grigori Rasputin, I believe, is the famous Russian, I believe, mystic and
I think that's
political
a fair,
leader.
Fair
who,
description. I would say weirdo.
Oh, for sure. For sure. The legend would be
just
he,
a creepy dude.
In order to kill him, they had to stab him. And
he was poisoned, stabbed, drowned, and shot.
Yeah.
I believe.
Possibly one of the earliest historical references of overkill.
Yeah, I mean, they sure killed him a bunch.
Now, you are on the record as not believing in anything mystical.
No, least of all myself.
Right. But I believe the story, so he was...
But that's how he built himself. Like,
right,
I think
it's
a
himself.
Fair description. Yeah, he's like, I'm a spooky wizard man. Ooh, I know the future.
Right, and I think one of the things that happened, I think, I recently read something, because I love shit like this, and Rasputin is a major villain in the Hellboy universe in the comics.
He
so
comes up a lot.
He
in,
does. He's,
in
a, he's a good villain.
I think, yeah, the whole, it took a couple tries to kill him, and mm-hmm. he's just kind of a spooky creep. He's the bad guy in Anastasia.
Right. There's not, nobody's fighting to say, hey.
Loosely based on history.
Right. But I think one of the reasons that he became a mystic was there was like a czar who had a hemophiliac son that
yeah.
he air quote cured by just telling people not to give him aspirin.
Yeah. He figured out how to stop him bleeding.
Yeah, he was like, yo, just don't take aspirin and your boy will clot.
Yeah.
I'm spooky wizard.
Ooh,
ooh.
Ghosts told me that.
Yeah.
Well, that he was what are some years for our boy?
Okay, well the deck giveaway. Sorry. I'm very caffeinated right now.
Because I think this was prime, like, when mediums and shit were,
right.
like, blowing up in the U.S.
Well, I mean, he was shot, so that helps us pinpoint a time. Guns were a thing.
Yeah.
So that's slightly helpful.
Well, the Romanovs were in power when? They were pre-Bolsheviks.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to say 19th into early 20th century was when our boy was around. There's a photo yeah. of him.
Yeah, there's a photo of him for sure. Yeah, that would
so
that makes sense.
I'm trying to I think he was one of those dudes who always looked old. Like I don't think he died particularly old, but he looked like he was
like
100.
He was born with a beard.
He's probably yeah, like he's probably like 30, but looks 75.
Came
before
out
he died.
And the doctor was gonna slap him, so he stopped crying. But they're like, "Don't hit that old man."
Yeah, don't beat up that old man. He knows secrets.
He just came out of that uterus, that secret-filled uterus.
I'm gonna say he was born in 1860.
Okay.
No, because
I think it's a little bit later than that.
Yeah, that's too early.
Right, like
1880, because I think he was around early 20th century.
Yeah, I think that works. Right, and I don't think we need to worry about lifespan because, as we know, this guy just couldn't be killed.
Continuous. Yeah. He's still around.
It's possible. I'm
I
sure.
Don't, is he
I'm sure
related
a
to Colossus?
Colossus?
I think you know more about X-Men
well,
than
well
I
no.
do.
Well, no. Rasputin is an actual person who lived. Colossus is a fictional character.
Yeah, but in the comics.
I don't know. I'm actually not an X-Men guy.
Why did I think that you were?
I don't know. I'm a nerd.
Yeah, that's probably it.
We're recording at my place, and you walked by bookshelves full of comic books.
I listened to the audiobook version of Days of Future Past on my my drive on tour.
Wait, they make audiobooks for comics, or was there a novelization
yeah.
of...
No, they do audiobooks based on the comics.
Are they short?
I think Days of Future Past might have been.
Did they, like...
There was.
Is it just the dialogue and the narration?
No,
or like,
they have
do they
like
describe the panels.
They have like voice actors and stuff.
Oh,
in there.
Okay. All right.
It was. They were interesting. I did that one. The first trade paperback of Miss Marvel. And then there was another one. I don't remember.
I wasn't there.
But Colossus is a prominent figure in Days of Future Past, so that's why.
I mean,
but
it feels like that is a trope of the comics, right? Like the, to have him related to.
Maybe
yeah,
his
it makes
last
sense.
Name's not even Rasputin, and I'm just wrong. Like it might have. Maybe it's Romanov.
I'm gonna guess that it doesn't matter because Colossus is not gonna appear on this Wikipedia page. I don't.
It's
know.
It's gonna be in there in the
fabled
cultural reference section.
In the mythical
that's
references
been in
maybe pop culture.
Two Wikipedia pages that we've covered.
Well, I mean, Rasputin was a mystic, so he would have mythical things on his Wikipedia page.
And he pops up in a lot of pop culture. Like,
remember in Anastasia how the bat,
Bartok,
he'd be like, oh, that popped right out there, sir. His little eye.
I think I've seen it
that's
once.
Pretty good. It's good. It's good.
And my wife and daughter went to the musical.
It was a musical?
Yeah.
Oh, dang.
I think the musical focuses a little less on, like, spooky wizard shit.
It's like, why have a musical, then?
Why even do it?
Yeah.
1880? Born?
Yeah, I thought we agreed on that. Are you just doubting yourself that much?
I'm just trying to think. It might even be one of those things where, like, nobody knows because he's so spooky.
It's like, let's call... Because we have a podcast, we know everybody else in the world that has a podcast. That's how podcasting works. So let's call the guy from Lore and just ask him.
Yeah. Oh, man. Ben Mankey?
Yeah, and he can like just pause at interesting times.
He probably knows so much
for
about
effect.
Rasputin.
Oh, probably.
Aaron Mankey.
Aaron Mankey, yeah.
Aaron Mankey.
Shout out to Aaron Mankey. Big fan of the show. He's a big fan of our show.
Oh, he loves it.
Oh,
he tells us every day.
Oh, my God.
We're like, Aaron, please, we get it.
Yeah, we don't need suggestions
every
day.
You don't have to call us every single day to tell us how much you love our podcast and how you think it should be so much more popular than your very popular podcast.
Yeah, I know. We want an Amazon Prime show, too, where they just take the audio from our podcast and put stock photography up on it. We want that, too. But
is that
Aaron,
what they do for the show?
I've only watched part of episode one.
I've not
one,
seen the show. I've listened
was,
to
yeah,
Laura.
I was like, this is the same thing, but like it's like bad.
The problem is when I listen to podcasts the most is when I'm driving long distances, and I don't want to listen to spooky stuff when I'm trying to stay awake.
Right. Like, and all like, you want to do is talk about Buckaroo Banzai, whereas I am team spooky stuff. And
yeah.
If I'm
driving at night through, like, mountain roads of West Virginia, I don't want to be listening to, like, I don't want to listen to, like, a Mothman podcast when I'm in Mothman country.
Why not? You famously don't believe in any of that quote-unquote garbage.
Yeah, I mean, Mothman's not real, but I don't know. I don't want to listen to spooky stuff.
Man, the very human side of
it. I just want to listen to audiobooks of comic books. I don't only want to listen to those, but they're pretty good.
So what's our intro paragraph for Rasputin?
So Rasputin is a creepy boy. He was a mystic. He was an advisor to the Romanov family. I think you're right about the hemophilia thing.
Boom.
He was, I don't know whether he actually did anything, but he was credited with curing little Tommy Romanov's hemophilia.
Little Tommy Romanov. It's good. It's actually, I hear that's part of the new Black Widow movie.
So there was Anastasia Romanov. I think I watched that cartoon once.
I don't know. Can we just pause for a second real quick?
Yeah.
Like, I just want to paint like a word picture for our listeners out there. we're sitting at my dining room table recording this podcast. We're like sort of catty corner to each other.
Correct.
We're making a lot of eye contact, which is wonderful.
Passionate eye contact.
But Glenn's wearing this t-shirt. It's a black t-shirt and in very big block letters. It just says no period.
No period.
And it's a very like passive aggressive thing to have staring back at you every time you want to contribute an idea. You look at Big Smart Boy in his Buckaroo Banzai hat and his big no t-shirt.
This is my prime improv shirt.
Yeah, it's good. It's
John, I mean, since we're describing each other, John's wearing shorts and sandals and an I attended the Martin Tower Space Launch t-shirt.
I did. By attended, I slept through it.
Yeah, I mean, you're pretty much right there. Yeah, I'm gonna wake up real early to go watch a building fall down.
Yeah, who am I, Rasputin?
Yeah, geez, he probably knocked the building down
with his brain.
Yeah, no, this was a present from my friend Dan.
No, it's a great t-shirt. It's just, it's fucking with me. I gotta be honest.
Weirdly, I get a lot of people talk to me about the t-shirt when I wear the t-shirt,
mm-hmm.
which I feel like is antithetical to the spirit of the t-shirt.
Sure. Yeah.
I wore it when I was driving on tour the other day I was driving like 8 hours in a day or something. Mm-hmm. And like every time I stopped for gas or to pee or to get sandwiches, somebody would be like, I like your t-shirt. I'm like, well, then appreciate its message and right. don't talk to me.
I just think maybe it's they feel like they see a kindred spirit in you of someone who doesn't want anything to do with other people.
Yeah.
But they just don't.
Also, a lot of people ask me where I got it. I don't, one, it was a present. I don't know. But two, it's just the word no on a t-shirt.
Right. I'm pretty sure you could have that made pretty easily.
Take some initiative.
Oh, boy. There's not really a whole lot to Rasputin, is
there? So Rasputin, I mean, there's a ton. So he was a liar. Mm-hmm. He ingratiated himself with the Romanov family, who were not in charge of Russia. They were just like an aristocratic family, right? They were just rich and had some political influence.
Yeah, I think
they
were
weren't
like the Koch brothers of Russia.
Was like a Romanov, were they the... No, because Anastasia was a princess, they thought. So yeah, they were in charge, the Romanov family.
Sure.
Because she went missing, and then...
Rasputin... made her disappear with his magical bat.
Was that the... they were in power when the Bolsheviks took over?
It's possible. I mean,
So then they wouldn't have been in power anymore. Mm-hmm. And then when that whole thing went south, everyone's like,
I think Anastasia was in hiding because of said revolution, maybe?
Yeah, because they thought... a bunch of people came forward and they're like, hey, I'm Anastasia. And they're like, nah, you ain't. You're not.
You ain't.
But then in the movie, Rasputin's like trying to get her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember why. And other than them being historical figures, I don't know that the movie has anything to do with actual history.
Hey, do you want anything to drink? You want to take a quick break?
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to get some seltzer. I've got like four varieties of it.
So good. Get that bubbly water.
All right, just give me a minute. Hello! Hello, Glenn Tickle!
Hey.
It is me, Anastasia!
Oh, see, I thought it was going to be Rasputin, but no, great to have you.
Anastasia!
Sure.
Romanov!
Yep. Hello there.
I heard you speaking of me from beyond the veil of death.
Yeah, you're super dead now, right? Because not a spooky monster man like Rasputin.
No, he was just very intimidating mystic.
That's true. Like, a lot of people did not like him.
Oh, he was very unlikely.
Your family did, because he saved your, let's say, brother.
Right. Tommy.
Little Tommy Romanov.
Yes.
Man, how good is it going to feel if that kid's name is Thomas?
I can't feel anything. I'm dead.
So I think you went missing during the, I'm going to say Bolshevik Revolution, because I don't know a lot about Russian history.
I went into hiding. I didn't go missing. They're two very different things. Do you like my spooky death voice?
It's a very spooky ghost voice. It's great. Are you, or is that just what people thought? Like, was it you went missing and people were like, oh, well, she's probably in hiding so that the Bolsheviks don't get
her. I'll never
tell. Oh, you're so sassy, Anastasia.
That's why they never found me, or did they? I don't know.
So, I think in the movie, you end up in Paris. And then John Cusack finds you. Is he the voice of the boy in that movie, John Cusack?
I was dead long.
Yeah, no, you were super dead. This is my only point of reference for you and your work, though.
Oh, well,
so.
Why were you talking about me?
We're talking about Rasputin, and you're just kind of tangentially. I know, right? God, you probably got it. Probably sick of that dude.
I have to take a very Kathy Griffin approach to my career now. All anybody wants to talk about is Rasputin and how he wronged me.
And how he tried to kill your whole family?
Yeah.
He probably did, right?
Right, yeah. So
is that what... So, you, right, he tried to kill people and then they... Why did they try to kill Rasputin?
He was a self-proclaimed mystic obsessed with power.
He's a spooky mystic boy.
He would do anything to get it, including killing families. Ooh, spooky.
Well, was he trying to kill your family, or was it just all the people didn't like him and
they didn't like
his influence over you? So they're like, well, he's got to go.
And he was in the way. It's a whole thing. Look, I gotta go. You clearly don't give a shit about me.
I mean, I hate to say it, but
I got a tea date with the Mothman. So, is there anything you want to say to him? Maybe apologize for saying he's not real.
He's not. He's not real.
Well,
ghosts aren't
real. He's just dead.
He's not dead or real.
Buckaroo Banzai's not a good movie. Woo!
Hey, I got Perrier. I've got Wegmans watermelon or Wegmans pomegranate cherry.
I'd mess up a pomegranate cherry.
All right, I'll get you a pomegranate cherry. What did I miss?
The ghost of Anastasia came and yelled at me.
What?
Because I said the Mothman's not real. Yeah, Mothman's her boyfriend.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Why did that even come up?
I didn't ask her about it. I wasn't like, hey, Anastasia, who you smashing lately?
Yeah.
And she's like, I got to get that Mothman dick.
Mm.
I was like, really? Because you're a cartoon character for children.
She was also a real human being, too. What?
I don't know that I think that anymore. I think she's just purely fictional, like the Mothman.
You know, for a guy who is bound by science and logic, you certainly have a lot of supernatural
Anastasia
things happen to you.
Romanoff done did me dirty, so now I don't believe that she ever existed.
You know, I listen to these episodes after the fact, and I think it is more than a little convenient that these guests tend to pop up as soon as I leave to either go to the bathroom.
I don't know that convenience the right term.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Is it convenient when Spider-Man shows up when Peter Parker has to run away?
What are you implying? Why don't you just fucking say
that
it?
You're Spider-Man?
I'm not Spider-Man.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not. I don't even have an Uncle Ben.
Not anymore.
All right, you got anything else for Rasputin, or you want to break for commercial and then come back and see how we did?
So I think they tried to kill him.
Mm-hmm. Who's they? Do you want to, like,
the Bolsheviks? I'm going to say the Bolsheviks.
Okay.
They tried to kill him because of... no, that doesn't make sense, because they would have killed the Romanovs.
Well, I mean, this you could just treat it like a Star Wars logic, right? And you could be like the, you know, map on, like... Rasputin is the Empire, right? And so, you know, the rebellion.
Well, I think the Romanovs are the Empire, right? They're like the...
I even tried to help. Just pick
they're
somebody.
The czars in power. Like, no. They're hoarding all the money.
Yep.
And the Bolsheviks are like, hey, we would also like some of that money, so we're going to straight up kill you.
Right.
So Rasputin was working for the Romanovs.
Great.
So I don't think... I mean, I guess they would have killed him, too.
All right, well, we got to take a break. And
I don't know enough about Russia. The Bolsheviks tried to kill him.
It
took a couple tries. I think we already said the ways, right? He was poisoned, stabbed, shot, and drowned.
Yep. Well, stick around. We got to pay the bills with this brief message from one of our improvised Wikipedia sponsors. And when we're back, we will have the official Wikipedia entry for Grigory Rasputin.
Hey, John.
Oh, Glenn. Hey, didn't see you there. What's going on?
I'm here because we're doing an ad read. I know sometimes you try to do them without me, but I'm here for this one.
Never tried to do one
you
without
you.
You
do it?
It's never
constantly.
Happened. Yeah, okay.
Always.
All right, agree to disagree. What's going on? What's the product we're schlepping this week, pal?
You know how sometimes you eat food?
Oh, I try to eat food at least daily.
And you're like, man, you know what this food needs a little bit of? Salt and pepper.
Salt and pepper are the nation's leading seasoning in all foods.
And how are you going to get them on there? You scoop them on with spoons?
No, that would be ridiculous.
Like some weird a-hole?
No.
Do you do that thing in that picture of that guy who's like sprinkling salt from real high up and he tries to make it look cool?
I don't know which picture you're talking about, but I'm not that guy.
No, you know how you get it on there.
Shakers.
Salt and pepper shakers.
Ah, so good.
So good.
Do you need a housewarming gift for people you don't like?
Mm.
Try salt and pepper shakers.
Do you just want to hold a little bit of salt and pepper and not as much as maybe you could potentially be a salt and pepper. I just feel like my salt and pepper shakers run out too frequently. I feel like they need to be able to hold more.
You don't
salt.
Need to justify it.
I have salt and pepper shakers mm-hmm. that I like to use that I refer to as R2-D2 and black R2-D2.
Ooh, that's uncomfortable.
Because R2-D2, it's another astromech droid that looks like R2-D2 mm-hmm. but is black. Right. And I know he has numbers and letters of his own, but I can never remember them.
Mm.
So I just call him black R2-D2. He's the pepper shaker.
Yeah, no, black. We all know.
The Countess on Pee-wee's Playhouse once gifted Pee-wee with Eiffel Tower salt and pepper shakers.
Mm. If you need to keep vampires or demons out of your house, sprinkle a line of salt over all of your entranceways, because as lore would have it, they have OCD and they need to count each individual grain of salt before they cross that line.
Yeah.
You can get that salt from a salt and pepper shaker.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could sprinkle it all loose like a dummy, but if you do it from the salt and pepper shaker, you're going to get a nice smooth line.
Yeah, don't be a dummy. Get those smooth lines.
Shake it up.
Shake it, not stirred.
Get at, like, what are you going to... So on Blue's Clues...
Oh, I thought we were done. Okay.
No.
Yeah.
So there's Mrs. Salt and Mr. Pepper.
Okay.
I think are their names. They're right. Little salt and pepper shaker cartoon characters, and they have a baby, and their baby's Paprika.
That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make sense, because you don't get paprika from mixing salt and pepper. And also, when's the last time you saw a paprika shaker?
Yeah.
Never.
Never.
It's not a thing. You have salt and pepper shakers. All other spices get out of shakers.
Use promo code ImprovWikiPod at checkout to save 50% on salt and pepper shakers.
That's a hell of a deal. That's like getting, you buy a salt shaker, you get a pepper shaker for free. Shake it up.
And we're back, and I have in front of me the official Wikipedia page for Grigori Rasputin. Want to point out, I got the first name right, so that's pretty cool.
Nailed it.
There's a picture on the sidebar, and he looks like the cast of Moonshiners.
Okay, so
yeah.
Racist?
Yeah, probably a little bit.
Oh, no, I was thinking of Duck Dynasty.
You were thinking of Duck Dynasty.
I don't
yeah.
know if the cast of Moonshiners is racist. I mean, hope not, because I'm related to one of them.
It's true.
Apparently.
Grigori Yefimovich. Yefimovich?
Yeah, that sounds definitely.
Rasputin, born January 21st, 1869?
1869?
No, this is a really weird way to put this. There's all sorts of weird nested brackets and parentheses that, like, within each other, that doesn't make sense. All right. 1869 born. Yeah. Died December 17th, 1916. Okay. He was a Russian mystic and self-proclaimed holy man who befriended the family of Tsar Nicholas II, the last monarch of Russia, and gained considerable influence in late Imperial Russia.
I think we said all those things except for holy man. We said yeah. self-proclaimed, we said mystic,
mm-hmm.
so I think that counts.
Born to peasant family in the Siberian village of Pokrovskoye.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Rasputin had a religious conversion experience after taking a pilgrimage to a monastery in 1897. He has been described as a monk or a wanderer or a pilgrim, though he held no official position in the Russian Orthodox Church. After traveling to St. Petersburg in either 1903 or the winter of 04-05,
or whatever,
yeah, you know, Rasputin captivated some church and social leaders. He became a society figure and met the Tsar in November of 1905.
So, time frame, we're looking pretty good.
Time frame-wise, yeah.
I think we split the difference on when he was born, because I think at first I said 1860, then 1880. So, 1869 is right in the middle there.
Yeah. In 1906...
Also, what? Nice.
Yeah. I hate you. In late 1906, Rasputin began acting as a healer for Alexei, the Tsar, and his wife Alexandria's only son, who suffered from...
Hemophilia.
Hemophilia. At court, he was a divisive figure, seen by some Russians as a mystic, visionary, and prophet, and by others as a religious charlatan.
And just a stinky boy.
Oh, so stinky.
If I remember correctly, he wasn't... Like, he looks like he would be stinky.
Oh, my God.
But I think it was a real thing that he didn't like to bathe.
Hey, short of stink lines coming off this photo, I mean, like, I've never seen a stinkier-looking mofo in my life.
He's out there living in the woods, I think.
The high point of Rasputin's power was in 1915 when Nicholas II left St. Petersburg to oversee Russian armies fighting in World War I, increasing both Alexandra and Rasputin's influence. As Russian defeats in the war mounted, however, both Rasputin and Alexandra became increasingly unpopular. In the early morning of December 30th, 1916, Rasputin was assassinated by a group of conservative noblemen who opposed his influence over Alexandra and the Tsar. Historians often suggest that Rasputin's terrible reputation helped discredit the Tsarist government and thus helped precipitate the overthrow of the Romanov dynasty, which happened a few weeks after he was assassinated. Accounts of his life and influence were often based on hearsay and rumor. End of opening paragraph.
So as we talked about in the Superman episode, if our goal is rewriting the opening paragraph, I think we did a pretty solid job.
I mean, at the very least, we are shot for shot there.
I think we goofed up Little Tommy's name.
Yeah.
He's Alexei. Yeah. Which is basically just Russian for Little Tommy.
Yeah, honestly, come on.
We got the major point. We got the hemophilia in there. We got the murder, the Romanovs, the overthrow.
So there's a bunch of sections on here. As I continue, there's early life, which quite frankly I don't care about.
There's not the even a little bit.
The religious conversion section. I mean,
does Rasputin fuck, you think?
Does he?
Does Rasputin fuck?
Right now?
Still alive.
Yeah, absolutely.
You think he's getting down? Because I know he's like weirdly religious, but like sometimes that doesn't matter. Sometimes you still fuck.
Yeah, no, I think probably most of the time.
I feel like it would be in there.
I think he's probably found his little niche in the stink kink community.
Oh, yeah. Some people love that stink.
Some people love that musk. Here's a section called Rise to Prominence. I think this is interesting. Word of Rasputin's activity and charisma began to spread in Siberia in the early 1900s. Sometime between 02 and 04, he traveled to the city of Kazan on the Volga River, where he acquired a reputation as a wise and perceptive holy man who could help people resolve their spiritual crises and anxieties. Despite rumors that Rasputin was having sex with his own female followers,
yeah,
he won
Rasputin
over the
fucks.
Father Superior of the Seven Lakes Monastery outside Kazan, and was
Rasputin,
as well as a local church.
You nasty.
Yeah, Rasputin fucks. Yeah. Rasputin first met the Tsar on November 1st, 1905. He recorded the event in his the Tsar recorded the event in his diary, writing that
Tsar, are you kidding me?
Oh, really? No.
Ha!
Read your shirt. You fucker.
I'm sorry.
Hold on, where did I go? I lost my spot because of you. Okay, the Tsar recorded the event in his diary, writing that he and Alexandra had, quote, made the acquaintance of a man of God, Grigory, from Tobolsk province. It's definitely not how you say that. Rasputin would not meet the Tsar and his wife again for some months.
How many months?
Some.
A
he would eventually return to St. Petersburg in July of 1906. So it feels like they could have counted the months.
Yeah, do the math, Wikipedia.
It's not
jeez.
Hard. Don't care. All right, healer to Alexei, or as the Americans would call him, Lil Tommy.
Lil Tommy. Lil Tommy Romanov.
Much of Rasputin's influence with the royal family stemmed from the belief by Alexandra and others that he had eased the pain and stopped the bleeding of Lil Tommy, who suffered from hemophilia, on several occasions. According to historian Marco Ferro, the Tsarina, I guess that's the
Tsarina.
Yeah, that's the wife of the Tsar, had a passionate attachment to Rasputin, in quotes. Passionate attachment.
Yeah, you know why?
Because he fucks!
Because Rasputin fucks!
Rasputin, as a result of her belief that he could heal her son's afflictions, became an indispensable member of the royal entourage as a result. Okay. During the summer of 1912, Alexei developed a hemorrhage in his thigh and groin after a jolting carriage ride near the royal hunting grounds at Spala, which caused a large hematoma. In severe pain and delirious with fever, the Tsarevich, so the baby czar, appeared to be close to death. In desperation, the Tsarina asked someone to send for Rasputin. Rasputin wrote back quickly, saying that God has seen your tears and heard your prayers. Do not grieve. The little one will not die. Do not allow the doctors to bother him too much. The next morning, Alexei's condition was unchanged, but Alexandra was encouraged by the message. Some historian called it one of the most mysterious episodes of the Rasputin legend, how Alexei recovered.
Wait, all he did was write a letter and say, hey.
Yeah. The cause of his recovery is unclear. Massey, cool. The historian, speculated that Rasputin's suggestion not to let the doctors disturb Alexei aided his recovery by allowing him to rest and heal, or that his message may have aided Alexei's recovery by calming Alexandra and reducing the emotional stress on Alexei. Alexandra, however, believed that Rasputin had performed a miracle. Some writers and historians have also claimed that Rasputin stopped Alexei's bleeding on other occasions through hypnosis. Oh, boy. This guy's giving off a real Charles Manson vibe in the photos, too, if I'm being honest. Oof.
There's that one aspirin of him. Thing you said before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, the doctor's bothering them too much. Like,
that's how I'm kind of reading into that, yeah.
If they're giving him aspirin, yeah, that's going to
thin his blood and he's going to bleed blood out. Yeah.
I thought that was based on a real thing. I was expecting in that paragraph for that to be one of the things. Like, oh, some writers think it's because he told the doctors not to give him aspirin.
That's not in there.
Should be.
It should be. I know. There's a section on controversy, but like I'm skimming through it, and I don't think any of the controversies are that interesting by our...
Of course there's the controversy that Rasputin fucked.
Well, let me actually address that right now, because, and I quote, Rasputin used his status and power to full effect, accepting both bribes and sexual favors from admirers and working diligently to expand his influence. Did you just say get it wet, Rasputin?
Get it. I called him Raspy, but yes, I did tell him to get it wet.
Mm, that's a t-shirt right there. Get it wet, Raspy. Improvised Wikipedia. Oh, boy. Yeah. I don't know. I'm sort of bored.
I also realized this breaks our no real people rule.
It does. But
I think because I don't think he's a real person.
Oh, well, he's definitely a real person.
He's a Mothman.
Here's a section on the assassination attempt.
I think it's fine because it's not a bummer because I think everyone hates this dude.
Yeah. No, I don't want the assassination attempt. I want to read the death section. They tried to kill him, and it didn't work. But here's the death section. Ooh, it's long. Having decided that Rasputin's influence over the Tsarina had made him a threat to the Empire, a group of nobles led by Prince Felix Yusupov and Grand Duke Dmitry Pavlovich and right-wing politician Vladimir Pereshkovich concocted a plan to kill Rasputin in December of 1916, apparently by luring Rasputin to Yusupov's palace. Rasputin was murdered during the early morning on December 30th, 1916. He died of 3 gunshot wounds, one of which was at close range, shot to his forehead. Beyond this, little is certain about his death, and the circumstances of his death have been the subject of considerable speculation.
So much speculation.
According to historian Douglas Smith, quote, what really happened at the Yusupov home on 17 December will be unknown. Well, that's interesting, because the previous paragraph says December 30th.
Dougie Smith, get your facts straight, bud.
Yeah, but then there's this weird notation in parentheses after it. I don't know what it means. That says 17 December. I don't know.
Don't know.
All right. So
did they use a weird calendar for a while?
I'm guessing that's what
sometimes,
it is.
Sometimes, like, I know after the French Revolution, they're like, we're going to make a non... because the calendar is based on, like, religious dates and stuff.
Right,
like,
right,
no,
right.
Completely agnostic calendar. And then they realize you can't just decide what calendars are, like...
Well, hold on. What if you and I take a crack at a calendar?
If you and me just make up a calendar?
Why not?
Well, the problem with the French one is they're like, weeks should be 10 days long because we like the metric system.
Oh.
And like, well, you can't really just decide how long things are. Like, you know, months last.
I disagree.
Basically, lunar cycle, a year takes for how long the Earth goes around the sun.
Hey, in 2019, if I've learned anything, we can decide anything that we want.
If you just start making up calendars, then, like, because it's you're basing, like, farming practices on, like, oh, well, winter's in February. If you just change your whole calendar around, in 5 years, it's going to be, like, middle of summer is February.
Well, I mean, at a certain point, we're going to have some sort of cataclysmic environmental disaster.
Yeah,
I
give it
right?
about a week.
So, like, in, like, a week from now, we're going to be like, oh, the fire season lasts for 6 months.
Yeah, we need our whole
right
new just apocalypse-based calendar.
We got to get on this.
But maybe, I'm saying maybe that's what, maybe they did a bad calendar.
I don't know. Well, let's read this next paragraph.
Like how everyone says Isaac Newton was born on Christmas Day, but it was a different calendar.
Okay. According to Yuspov, he invited Rasputin to his home shortly after midnight and ushered him into the basement. Yuspov offered Rasputin tea and cakes, which had been laced with cyanide. At first, Rasputin refused the cakes, but then began to eat them. To Yuspov's surprise, Rasputin did not appear to be affected by the poison. Rasputin then asked for some Madeira wine, which had also been poisoned, and drank 3 glasses, but still showed no sign of distress. At around 2:30 a.m., Yuspov excused himself to go upstairs, where fellow conspirators were waiting. Taking a revolver, Yuspov returned to the basement and, referring to a crucifix that was in the room, told Rasputin that he'd, quote, better look at the crucifix and say a prayer, then shot him once in the chest, believing him to be dead. They then drove to Rasputin's apartment, with one of the conspirators wearing Rasputin's coat and hat in an attempt to make it look as though Rasputin had returned home that night. Upon returning to the palace, Yuspov went back to the basement to ensure Rasputin was dead. Suddenly, Rasputin leapt up and attacked Yuspov, who, with some effort, freed himself and fled upstairs. Rasputin followed and made it into the palace's courtyard before being shot and collapsing into a snowbank. The conspirators
That's
then...
That's where snowmen keep their money. You were on such a roll, and I hadn't said anything in a long time, and I wanted to. So I said that great snowman joke that my daughter likes.
The conspirators then wrapped Rasputin's body in cloth, drove it to Petrovsky Bridge, and dropped it into the Malaya Nevka River.
Did anybody stab him? I think we said he got stabbed. I don't know.
I want to scroll down here because, Glenn, I have something very exciting to tell you.
Yeah.
There is a heading on this Wikipedia page entitled In Popular Culture.
See? Told you.
And let me tell you what. There apparently is so much cultural reference to this that the whole In Popular Culture section is a link to an article called Grigori Rasputin in Popular Culture.
Hell yeah.
So I'm going to click through, even though this is technically not on the page. What is on the page says numerous film and stage productions have been based on the life of Rasputin. But if I click through, there is quite a long page of Grigori Rasputin in popular culture. It's one of those list pages, so we could never compete against it anyways. But the categories are films broken down into historical fiction, science fiction and fantasy, and characters based on Rasputin. There's a television, a theater, comics, manga and anime, books, music, and under music there are bands, songs, album covers, and other.
That's a lot.
Then there's computer and video games, games named after Rasputin, Rasputin as a character, characters based on Rasputin, and other. Then there is an other media section and some references. It's pretty intense.
Homeboy gets around, you know why? Because Rasputin fucks.
So that's it. I mean, I can't read anymore. That was the end of the actual Rasputin page. We're not going to get into that list page because that would just be a whole other episode.
It's a big old list.
I mean, what did we learn?
We already covered Anastasia and that Colossus' last name is Rasputin.
Yeah, we learned that Raspy fucks.
Raspy fucks.
I
think the only thing we really had truly wrong was the stabbing.
But we
got all the other murders.
I think the stabbing part of it is in there somewhere, but admittedly, I started skimming.
Maybe somebody stabbed him at some point. I'm not that worried about it.
Yeah. You know what I do know? He stabbed a lot of people. With his dick! Oh! Pew, 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 pew!
I was going to put in air horn sounds, but I think you did a great job of whatever that was.
Thanks, bud. I mean, so we got to call it. We got to make a decision. Did we win? Did we tie? We definitely didn't lose. I know that.
I don't think we lost. And after last week, I re-listened to Superman. I think we should have taken a tie for Superman.
So do you want to like correct it after the fact and call this a win?
I think that's... Ooh, I was going to say a tie.
Yeah, but I've enticed you with victory. Yeah, sure. Why not?
I think we pretty well summed up Rasputin here.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, everything you at least need to know at this point.
All the biggins. How much he fucks.
So much.
Most of the ways that people tried to kill him. And plus an extra one. We knew the Romanov stuff.
We knew the hemophilia stuff.
That's a big one.
That is the big one.
We knew like how he got in there.
Yeah.
And we knew that he fucks.
We described his stanky ass appearance.
So stanky.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I think we're good.
I'll take it.
Let's do it, man. Let's get that score tied back up, 18 apiece.
Yeah.
That's it. That's a win. I love it.
Hell yeah.
So we end on a triumphant note, even though objectively we probably didn't earn it, but who cares? It's our podcast, our rules. Ooh,
I don't.
Yeah. So what is a fake fact you would leave on this page if you were that kind of guy?
I would say the fake fact could be that Rasputin fucks, but it's that's a real
there.
Fact.
And it's
that's
already on there. There. Yeah.
Rasputin gets it.
I like the idea of some of his devout followers referring to him as Raspy.
Raspy, yeah. Rasputin, Gregor Rasputin. Raspy to his friends.
Yeah, I like that.
I'll take Raspy.
Well, there it is. Thanks for listening, everybody. Hey, do us a favor. If you enjoy this podcast, swing on by Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star rating and a little reviewy view. That would help us. Yeah, it would help us out.
Mean bad thing.
No, don't do that.
That's not nice.
But that would help us out tremendously. Like us on Facebook. Do all those great things. Tell your mom about our podcast. Glenn, any closing thoughts before we call it?
I don't understand why so many people fucked Rasputin.